It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, a weekly conversation between me, your host, Adam Mangum, and my brother Matt about BYU sports. We've been on the air for 6 years and still going strong. Thank you for downloading and listening. This week, we discuss men's basketball, whether this team has any chance to beat Gonzaga, and we also discuss the depressing possibility of Eric Mika turning pro. And do we still believe this core of players has a special run in them in the seasons to come? Also on the show, Jemmer, Cougars in the NFL Combine, and what the football team needs to do to have a special season in 2017. This is episode 270 of the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And listen to us right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, welcome back, buddy.
Welcome back from where?
I don't know.
Where have you been? Have I been somewhere?
I don't know. Have you been somewhere?
Not that I'm aware of.
Thought you were out, you said, walking in the mud today on some island or something.
I did spend some time in the mud today. That is correct.
So welcome back from the mud.
I appreciate it.
Welcome back from the mud. Have you seen the Lego Batman movie yet?
Nope.
We did. I went and I took my second oldest. We went to the Lego Batman movie. I have to say it's good. I was scared.
The movie scared you, or no, you were worried it wasn't going to be any good?
I was worried it wasn't going to be good, because, you know, the Lego movie was hilarious, and Batman,
everything is awesome.
Batman was hilarious. I only work in black and really dark gray. You know, he was hilarious, but, you know, sometimes it's like, you've seen the Minions movie?
Yep.
Where they were funny in Despicable Me and Despicable Me 2, and then the Minions movie is just too much?
Yep.
I was worried about that with Lego Batman. That was not the case. It was hilarious. Okay.
I kind of assumed that that was going to be the case. That's why I haven't been in a real big rush to see it.
Yeah, it's actually quite good. It's quite hilarious. I can't say I like it as much as the Lego movie. Was that a favorite of yours? Did you enjoy the Lego movie?
It was okay.
Really?
It didn't really, like, blow my mind.
Oh, man, I love that movie. I could watch it over and over again.
The Craggle.
The Craggle.
The Piece of Resistance.
That's right, the piece. So you've seen this movie a time or two because you have kids.
Yeah.
You can kind of quote it.
Mr. President Business?
That's Lord Business. It's just business. Lord Business. All right. So, Matt, we have a couple of news items that we're going to cover before we get to the other news items. Nope, not those kind of news items.
Right.
So the first thing is, we have been associated and are still associated with Cougar Fan, the best BYU Cougar sports news aggregation site on the web.
In the universe.
We are now entering in a relationship with Deseret News. We will be not a serious relationship. We're just kind of dating a little bit.
But it'll make it weird.
You can go to DeseretNews.com/podcasts, and you can see we are one of two podcasts that are now part of the Deseret News Podcast Network. So that's pretty cool. And there will be a third podcast, Matt, that will be part of that network that I am also the host of.
Wow, you get around. You're in a lot of podcast relationships.
I do. I am. I am. I am. I am a poly. How would you phrase that? A
polypodcastery.
Polypodcastery. I don't know how to say it. Anyway, the new podcast is called Bleep the Podcast. It's a geek podcast, and our first episode will be me and two guests doing a draft of Pixar movies, and it comes out. I'm not sure exactly when, but in the next 10 days or so, it will be live. You can follow us on Twitter at Bleep Podcast on the Twitter. All right? So we'll have more. I'll tweet it out and Facebook it out so that once it's live, people can check it out. If you enjoy my geeky rants, you will basically get to just listen to that as a podcast, Matt.
Which is good, because you need an outlet for that.
And Matt, now that you're such a huge Star Wars geek, you might qualify to someday be a guest on a geeky podcast.
I've been a guest on this podcast about 400 times.
No, you're a co-host. You're not a guest.
I know. I'm just messing with you.
Plus, it's 270 times.
Yeah, 270, 400.
No, but you've missed three podcasts, right? Over the 6 years? Is it three? I think it's three, because I did it just once with Jerem, and I think I did it twice with Dawn.
Maybe I thought there was one you did with somebody else.
Oh, you're right. Zach Bloxham.
Yeah, I think you did one with Zach, yeah.
I did one with Zach. That was many moons ago. So anyway, Matt, let's jump in to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news!
Man, watching you do that is scarier than hearing it. Your face looks weird.
I made a little face there just for you.
Yeah, that's good. So men's volleyball, Matt, swept UC San Diego. No surprise, UC San Diego is not good. Six sets to none over the two nights. Strangely, I don't know how this works. One of the matches was conference and one of them wasn't, even though they're in the same conference.
I don't understand how that works.
Somebody will have to explain that one to me. Hosting
sounds like Big 12 rules to me.
Yeah. Hosting Stanford this weekend. Stanford is 9-5. They're coming off a rough week. They got upset by USC last week. They were ranked number 6, but I haven't seen the latest poll. I'm assuming they dropped quite a bit. Matt, as you know, I always say take it to the Cardinal. Burn the tree.
Yeah, we all know how much you love the Cardinal.
So
and they're banned.
And they're banned. Ugh. And their wee beady eyes.
I don't know about the wee beady eyes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That was just the Cardinal.
Check that out on BYU TV this weekend. I will be checking it out because on Saturday night I may want to get some relief from watching the basketball game. Matt, also in former Cougar news, Cougars in the pros. So let's do this. The Cougars in the pros. With the first pick in the NFL draft, the New England Patriots select victory. Suck it, Goodell. All right.
They select victory.
Yeah.
They selected victory.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They did. I almost said we. I'm not part of the team. I am not on the active roster for the Patriots or even the practice squad.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you got cut.
Yeah, I got cut a long time ago. Jimmer, Matt, is the man. He scored
a few points, I heard.
73 points. I think he shot like 50 times. And had an amazing, they took it to double overtime. He had an amazing run, had an amazing shot if you've seen the highlights. I think it was at the end of the first overtime to take it into the second overtime. But, of course, they did not win, unfortunately. They lost that double overtime game. Matt, Hoops Hype names Jimmer as one of the Chinese Basketball Association players who might get back into the NBA on a free agent contract. Do you think his otherworldly performances in China against, admittedly, not even probably college Division I high-level competition, Do you think he gets a NBA contract when the CBA playoffs expire here in the next couple of weeks?
No.
I do.
I don't.
I think somebody gets injured somewhere and somebody signs him to a 10-day contract, if nothing else, then to create some buzz around their franchise. Because if Jimmer's coming, people care. So if you're some middling, you know, seventh-place team, I don't know what's going to happen. But I think doesn't somebody have to give him a shot at this point? He just scored 73 points. He's second in the league in scoring. He looks like a beast in these highlights playing against competition.
Yeah, and a lot of these teams have already had a look at him. They've had him in the gym.
Yeah, a lot of these teams have. Not all of them.
And they've made decisions to move. And none of those guys, I don't think any of those teams are going to go back to the well.
Well, unless coaching staffs have changed. But yes, I agree with you. Any coaching staff that feels like they're familiar with them and has passed, probably, you know, you don't want to bring them back in and basically prove yourself wrong, right? It's against their human nature. So Matt, Andre Hutchins on Twitter. So our first tweet bag question of the day.
Tweet bag.
That's at @AC_Hutchins. He asked this: do crazy record-breaking stats get diminished if the player doesn't win? Jimmer 73, Golden State 73-9 record last year. I would throw in the Patriots with their undefeated regular season, then losing the Super Bowl. Matt, does that diminish those?
I don't know if Andre didn't include the Patriots there because he was trolling us or because
he's trying to be nice.
He forgot. Yeah, he was trying to be nice and didn't want to bring it up, or he was trolling us. Either way, I don't like it. I don't like it, Andre. I don't like it one bit.
What are you talking about? Why are you getting
on Andre? Trolling us. He's either trolling us or he's ignoring the Patriots.
Maybe he's trying to be nice. There was a third option in there.
Trying to be nice. I'm offended.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to start a beef with Andre Hutchins. I apologize. I kind of flew off the handle there.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I was out of control.
The answer is yes, I believe they do. But that being said, I think you still have to see those things as remarkable. Meaning, I get it. Golden State lost last year in the finals to Cleveland. That regular season, and I watched a lot of that team last year, and the Patriots undefeated season. Those are remarkable accomplishments that, yes, they would be bigger if they had won championships. I think the one game thing is different, though, right? You score 73 points in a game, that's a big deal, win or lose, right? Especially if it was a close game, right? Isn't it?
73 points, yeah, that's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points. So, anyway. All right, Matt, let's talk the NFL for a second. We just made fun of Goodell. Jamal Williams and Harvey Longy were both invited to the NFL Combine. Okay, this happened last week, so we're not exactly we're not exactly breaking any news here on the podcast. But Matt, the Lawless Republic earlier this week, they suggested that Harvey Longy should go to the Raiders. Are they now the Las Vegas Raiders? Who are they? The Los Angeles official? Raiders?
Are they going? When do they start that thing in Vegas?
I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. We can get to this in a second. But right now, Matt, the scouts are putting Williams in that 3-5 round range, and I believe he'll get picked higher than that. I think somebody's going to get nervous in the second round and early third and take him. They're now projecting.
Only takes one.
Longy somewhere in the 5th to 7th round. Matt, percent chance Harvey Longy gets drafted and isn't an NFL rookie free agent?
I think it's still pretty slim. You know, he bounced around a little bit position wise, and I think that's going to hurt him a little. People are going to be they're going to have to make a decision to take a guy. I'm not really sure where they're going to put him, or not really sure if he's ready to play at that position. You know, it may depend on a scheme, but I would put him down around a 10% chance.
I'm gonna shock you here. You ready to be shocked?
Oh, go for it.
90% chance he gets drafted.
Really?
Based on two things, and I'm holding up my fingers for those of you that can't see. Two things. First thing, Senior Bowl. He was freaking dominant. He looked fantastic. And unfortunately, should have been a linebacker all year.
Yes.
Should have been a linebacker all year. The second thing is the combine. I think he will be a monster in the workout. It's obvious he's been doing a lot of strength training, the way he was moving those offensive linemen around last month. So I think it's 90%. Did I say 95 earlier?
No, you said 90.
90% chance he gets drafted. And I think there's a good chance he gets drafted in the 5th round, which is a meaningful round, right?
Yeah, 5th round counts as meaningful.
Yeah. I think he gets drafted, man. I'm feeling good about it.
You're not. There's a lot of players out there, Adam.
There are a lot of players. That is true. But I think the other thing, so now I'm going to do a third thing, Matt.
And maybe it's you said two.
Maybe it's the Patriots that'll take him. Versatility.
When you say versatility, what do you mean? He was not as effective.
He was still as a defensive. He was still one of the best players on that team, even as a defensive lineman. Not as effective as a linebacker, but he can put his hand on the ground. He's done it. He can stop the run. He can cover. I mean, his versatility plays into today's NFL defensive schemes where they want a guy to be able to do more than one thing, especially if you're going to stay on the field for more than one or two downs.
Hey, I'll give you he can drop back into coverage and stop the run, right? So he can play from a couple different positions as a linebacker. I love him, but I don't know that he's ready to put his hand in the dirt at the NFL level.
Well, you're just a hater. You just don't
like... I'm not a hater. I just said I love him.
You don't like Harvey Longy. Okay.
No, I think Harvey Longy could play linebacker in the NFL. I don't think anybody's going to line him up to rush off the edge.
No, you're probably right. You're probably right. I think unfortunately, he didn't have enough success doing that this past year. Now, he got a fair amount of double teams, to be fair. But a lot of times, he could not beat a guy one-on-one. So,
But I think he's got the tools to be an NFL linebacker. Don't get me wrong.
Me too. Absolutely.
If he can get into the right spot, I think he could stick around.
So, Matt, before we get into something depressing, I wanted to mention the Kickstarter for my new book, for my new science fiction books, the Sycorax series. You can do that at Kickstarter.com. Just search for the word Sycorax, Sycorax. It'll also be a link in the liner notes. 31% funded, Matt, with 13 days to go. Raised nearly $500.
There you go.
So we're on pace. We're on pace to do this. You can pledge as little as $4 to get the first of the three books, or the most popular one right now is $10. You get all three of the books in ebook format, Matt.
It's a good deal right there. Where else are you going to get three ebooks for $10?
And especially three ebooks written by me.
And you're kind of a big deal.
I am kind of a big deal. And if nothing else...
Watch the video.
Yeah, watch the video. If nothing else, go there and watch the video. At least you will be entertained. Okay, Matt, let's talk about men's basketball. Obviously, last week went down exactly how you and I predicted on the podcast last week. A victory and then a kind of a crushing loss against St. Mary's. Matt, what are your takeaways from last week? You feel better about this team, the same or worse than you did 7 days ago?
I feel exactly the way I did 7 days ago.
Me too.
I didn't, you know, this the last week has played out exactly the way that you and I both predicted it. I think at this point in the season, we kind of know who this team is. We know what they're capable of doing and what they're not going to be able to get done. So my opinion has not changed.
Yeah, my opinion has not really changed either. I think they had a chance to change the opinion with the game against St. Mary's, right? It's at home. Why are you wiggling your finger at me? That's weird. Just stop being weird, all right? So I can talk.
I'm like a little kid. I can't stop playing in the camera.
I know. It's like I handed my 2-year-old a FaceTime. It's like I'm not going to talk to the person. I'm just going to make funny faces and move my hands around. If they had had either a really close game with or beaten St. Mary's, I think that would have changed how I feel about their slim chances of winning the WCC tournament or upsetting Gonzaga this week. But even at home, they got manhandled by St. Mary's, right? Manhandled.
Yeah. I mean, and St. Mary's is a good team, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, they're legitimate top 25 team.
And coming out early, oh, there you go. There you go.
Little Dr. Pepper
for crack that up. I really did. I wanted to believe. And I thought, okay, well, they're going to stay in this thing, and they're going to give themselves a chance to win it if they can just stay in it until late.
Yeah.
And it was not to be.
No, it was not to be. Emory, after having such a good game on Thursday night, came back and just, I don't think it's effort. We'll get to that in a second, but just not a good game for Nick Emory on Saturday night. Foul trouble, had trouble, you know, just finding his shot and getting good shots. It's not good, Matt. So Spencer Lindemann on Twitter, that's at the LDSSDL, asked, did the men's basketball team quit in the second half against St. Mary's? Matt, Did they quit in the second half?
No, I didn't feel like they quit. I didn't get that from watching it. But very rarely. There's only a few times really that I've seen a team, a BYU team or otherwise, teams really really quit late. I'm talking about like, okay, not like high school games and stuff like that, but top level type of competition. I think it happens a lot less often than people want to believe it does. But no, they didn't quit. They just got beat. They got beat by a better team.
They got beat by a better team. And Mika was clearly frustrated in that second half with the officiating, with, I think, with his teammates and with himself. Because, you know, the offense only seemed to be working through him. And he started pressing. He had a couple of dumb turnovers. And he certainly got upset with himself a little bit there. But I'm with you. I didn't see them quit. If anything, some of those bench guys came in and gave terrific effort. But Matt, short bench. We're playing six guys. The last three games, our benches combined to score like 6 points in three games. You're going to struggle to beat mediocre teams like that unless your top five or six are out of this world. And nothing against any of these guys, but Mika's the only one that classifies to that level today. So Matt, I mean, their biggest problem right now is depth. And coming into the year, we didn't think depth would be a problem.
Well, but some of that, we've lost some guys, right?
Yep, absolutely.
There's been some injury, which is part of the issue. And I think that you know, that game, the St. Mary's game, was, I would imagine, if I were a player on this team, that I would have been looking at the St. Mary's game as, this is an opportunity for us to kind of turn things around, show people what we're made of. Let's put a complete game together and really make a statement. You know, let's take a run at these guys. We know we can beat them. Let's go do it. Right. I imagine that's the type of language that was going on. And you come out and you get into the second half and you realize this probably isn't, we might just not get there. And so there might be some feelings of desperation. There's going to be some feelings of frustration. I think we saw that. You know, but that's not the same as giving up. But this could have been a real bellwether game for this team as that opportunity slipped away. You're going to see a lot of the frustration from the whole season is going to kind of come to a head in a game like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back against Gonzaga.
Yeah. Yeah, it is going to be interesting, Matt. I mean, and here's the thing. We previewed Gonzaga that first time a couple of weeks ago. The problem with Gonzaga is they are the opposite of us, meaning they have depth up the yin-yang, right? They've got...
Sounds uncomfortable.
They've got... I think they're like 10 or 11 deep, right? I think they can play... And Perkins, who plays a lot of minutes for them, hasn't even played that well this year, right? And they're undefeated. And you know, if Karnowski or Collins or Williams-Goss has an off game, it's not a big deal because somebody else is going to step up and play really well. And you look at that, Matt, and you say, right now on BYU, if Mika has an off game, you're hosed, right? He could actually even have a really good game and we're still hosed.
It may not matter, right?
You know, we saw...
You need three of these. You need a couple of these guys all firing on all cylinders for this to work.
So, Matt, the best half of basketball I think this team played all year, at least pretty close to that, was that second half against Gonzaga a couple of weeks ago. What are the chances they have a half or even a complete game like that on Saturday night in Spokane?
I think they have a chance of having a half like that putting together. I just haven't seen anything that this team has done all year that makes me believe that they're prepared to put together a full game like that against Gonzaga on the road. Now, do they have the fight in them to do that for a half or for half of the minutes of the game, you know, maybe part of the second half? Do I think they have the fight and the talent in them to do that? Yeah, but what it seems to me like they've not been able to do is sustain that. And when you go up against a team like Gonzaga, it's just that much harder.
So Matt, let's move on. Let's finish the Gonzaga preview with this, okay? Gary Payne on Facebook, so the Payne Bag.
pain bag.
Gonzaga is really good, he says, correct? Yes, Gary, they are very good. Do we have... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how many questions is this tweet bag question? It looks like it's at least three.
It's at least three, but there may be like two within.
Yeah, this next one looks like a compound question. No, yeah. The third one might be a compound question.
Yeah, yeah. So do we have a 0.5% chance of winning, or is it actually lower than that? It's higher than that, right, Matt?
Yeah, and like if we're talking about real statistics, yes, it's higher than that.
Will it feel like that going into the game? Yes, it'll feel like 0.5%.
Right.
So he says, does YouTube in the form of Jimmer and Taysom highlight videos provide you a level of comfort in times of BYU sports despair? It does for him, Matt. I can't say it really is giving me much comfort right now. Jimmer feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, actually, watching Jimmer highlight videos, like there was a couple of weeks ago where there was some stuff floating around on Twitter a lot of people were playing. It really just makes me sad because it... Because then I remember how long it's been. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. Matt, prediction for Saturday night, I'm going to say Gonzaga by 16.
Oh, I was going to go 20.
Okay. All right. I think we have a rough night shooting the basketball, especially from outside, which has been a big problem. Even at home lately for us, shooting the three ball has not been great. How on 0 to 100? How scared were you when you saw Childs go down?
Oh my gosh! I was just like, oh well, that just sums it up, doesn't it?
I thought he's done, and it's going to be like an MCL or something, and it's going to be out for like he won't even be able to start next year. You know what I mean?
He was like, just laying there so still. I was like, oh, this is bad.
Pain, you could just see it on his face.
Oh, like, this is not good. And then you feel for the guy, right? You're like, oh my gosh, like. That for me, especially when it's a team I care about, you see somebody go down and you know how much it's, I mean, the physical pain is one thing, but when somebody has put so much into preparing themselves to play at that level and getting to where they're at, and then for that to disappear, those are all the things that flash in my mind when I see something like that, because it looked like it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it didn't look great. Didn't look great, but then he came back in the game and seemed fine, and I haven't seen anything to indicate that's not the case. Matt, something has come up. I've had two different BYU fans, our father, actually, and another friend, who were listening to, I can't remember which game it was, where one of the announcers said the phrase, well, I think they'll be a lot better next year because they'll have, you know, a lot more experience as a young team. You know, that's assuming that Mika doesn't go into the NBA. So do you remember hearing that phrase? Or something similar. Yes. I'm paraphrasing. So
yeah, something like
that. It has caused a few BYU fans that I know to be pretty freaked out. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Pretend that you're Eric Mika. Okay?
Sweet.
All right? You're very tall and very good at basketball. Those are two things that
and
are
And I look like Ivan Drago.
And you look like Ivan Drago. Okay? Let's say...
And I speak Italian.
And you speak Italian. Which, why not? Right? Let's say somebody tells you could be the 20th pick, give or take, in the NBA draft. Do you declare or do you stay?
Arrivederci.
Really?
Oh, sure.
The 20th? I mean, that's 20th. Not that high.
Yeah, but what am I going to make? What am I going to get paid?
More than you're getting paid at, more than you're getting paid in, at BYU for sure.
And does the same person who thinks I can pick 20th, do they think I'm going to stick on a roster?
Yeah. If you get picked 20th, you're likely to stick on a roster, right?
Well, here we go. Yeah, I'm out.
So you're
out. I'm out like Trout.
If somebody gives that to you, you're out.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Mika or if I'm Mika, what is my ultimate goal?
Play in
the NBA. Mm-hmm.
But would you feel bad about ditching your teammates?
Nope.
You would not feel bad about ditching your teammates. Your two high school buddies.
No. And I would hope that they would understand. I've got a shot. I've got a shot at the dream, and they're saying I'm ready for it. I'm out. You know, I could stick around here for a year, go down and have some injury, and it all goes away.
Here's the thing. I think you're right. I think if he were to get the advice that he could get a guaranteed MBA contract, I think he's going to say yes. Now,
yes,
I am having trouble finding anywhere where anybody is saying that knows anything, right?
All right, that's the thing, is how real is the opportunity?
That's
what it's going to come down to. I don't think it comes down to some, you know, love of the team or his friends or whatever. I think it comes down to how real is the opportunity. If the opportunity is really not that real, then yeah, you give it. Then you don't go yet.
Well,
if there's a real opportunity out there, man,
I'll tell you, I don't think he's a first round draft choice this year. I don't think so. Based on, you know, I'm obviously not an NBA scout, but I do watch a lot of college basketball and NBA basketball, so that qualifies me to say whatever I want, right?
Well, and you did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
That's right. That's right. I think he struggles sometimes guarding good big men, and I think that's an issue that will get better over time. But on the offensive side, you know, there's not a lot of flaws in his game, you know, and there's not a lot of back-to-the-back big men right now as much as there used to be in the NBA. So we shall see, Matt. That's not a good scenario for BYU fans, right? It's a very bad scenario.
Yeah, that's a bad situation.
Okay, so, Matt, BYU and Utah, in theory, Vanquish the Foe had that this week, could match up in the NIT. Do you want to see BYU and he who will not be named, the coach of Utah, facing off in the NIT? As long as we're likely to be there, is that a good scenario for you or a bad one?
I just want to know, will he play the game?
Or maybe he'll forfeit because he's afraid of what might happen.
Game?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, does he call the NIT and demand a different matchup?
He might.
But,
he might.
You know, the NIT would be licking their chops.
Oh, heck yeah.
I mean, BYU-Utah matchup?
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's television and attendance gold for the NIT, you know, and especially if they know about, and they probably do know about this rivalry being put on hold because Voldemort's a wuss. Right? So.
Oh, man, they've got to be salivating over this.
All right, back to the tweet bag, Matt. Our brother Don at dpmangum.com. That's not .com. He's not a .com. Is this team overachieving, underachieving, or about right? I say under, right?
Yeah, they're underachieving.
They're going to have the worst record that a Rose team has had since, like, he started. So it's
and they should be one of the most, the best, one of the best collections of talent he's had.
Yes, and we didn't think they would be. I joked earlier. We didn't actually think they'd make the Sweet 16 this year, but we thought they would be right there on the border for a tournament spot, like either the last few teams in or the last few teams out. I thought that's where their sweet spot was this year, and they're right now not even close to it, right?
No, they're not even sniffing NCAAs.
So Corey Nelson, that's at Blue Man Crew 14 on Twitter, asks, the starting five will get better next year. Matt, agree or disagree?
I agree. Theoretically, everybody should be better than they were a year ago.
That's not always true, but yes, in theory, I agree, and I think there will be. But what hope do we have for added depth? He says, Lee leaves for a mission, so we get incoming for next year are Pupula, Nixon, both are young. Are high expectations slipping away for next year as well? Here's the deal for me for next year, Matt. This is the key for next year. Hawes has to take the leap, okay? And right now he's played well, and it's a good freshman year, and he's been asked to do a lot that I don't think they were expecting to put on his shoulders, including running the point a lot, right? Because they had they had LJ Rose, who they thought would be their main point guard, and he did for a lot of the year, but of course he's gone. That's the other thing. The other thing is some of these other guys that are currently on the roster have to step up. Dastrup, eights, maybe the ship has sailed on eights, I don't know. You know, eights, Gwyn, like, the guys that are on there are going to have to be able to play at a higher level. Yeah, the newcomers will be good, but we need some depth from inside, and you can't just magically create that unless he releases some of these guys from their scholarships and goes find some more transfers. But quite frankly, transfers have been kind of a mixed bag, right? Chase Fisher.
Yeah, there's no guarantees with those guys either.
No, yeah. And Rose was playing okay, but he wasn't exactly, like, lighting it up. You know, I don't know. But to me, what else do you think makes next year pop or not?
See, well, I think he really hits it on the head here. I think there's a depth issue.
Yeah, there is
a depth issue. I think the starting five get a little bit better. You know, does Haas make the leap? I don't know. But even if Haas does make the leap, you've got to have depth. And, you know, some of what we had for depth, you know, we've had some injuries this year, but we had some people transfer out that were kind of, in a perfect world, would have provided us with some of the depth that we're missing to weather the storm on injuries and other things.
We forced them out, dude. Like, it was a scholarship crunch. Did we keep the wrong guys? I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, but some guys, you know, might decide that they get a better shot somewhere else. They may be, you know, kind of self-select.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a
big key to next year Elijah Bryant? A full season of him being healthy? Is that, I mean.
That's a big deal.
We haven't even talked about Emery. I mean, is this as good as we can expect? Like, he was better last year.
See, that's the thing. So I think that this year is not as good as we can expect because he was better last year.
Right.
So you have to say to yourself, well, he may at least be as good as he was a year ago next year. Maybe that's his ceiling. I don't know. But it's reasonable to say that you have a shot that he gets back into that form. If he gets back into that form, Haas gets a little bit better. You know, I think you get to a spot where the team starts to look like what we thought they were going to be. But, you know, will they be a year from now? What's the right way to say this? The way I pictured this team six months ago, I had a vision in my head for what this team looked like 2016, 2017, 2018. Does that 17-18 team look the way I thought they would 6 months ago? No.
No.
They won't.
No, they don't. They absolutely don't.
They
right?
might look like. They might look like the team I was expecting in 16-17, though.
Yes, but
I think that's where I'm at. That's what I expect to see.
But quite frankly, what's the excitement of that?
The team we all thought we were getting this year.
What's the excitement of that? Like, we have that team the last 3 years, right?
Yeah, we've done that a bunch over the past 10 years.
Yeah, of that barely making the tournament. I mean, the whole point of this big three out of Lone Peak was this was a chance for us to have a run, right? And this year was supposed to be like, you're supposed to be like, wow, they didn't quite put it all together, but man, they're close. You know what I mean? That was the feeling you were supposed to get from this season. And judging by your reaction today and some of our off the podcast conversations, I mean, do you think this team ever puts that together with these players?
I see it as the same dream I saw it as a year ago, right? I don't see a lot of evidence that they will, but on paper they should be able to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one thing you have to put into context is Haas has been playing a lot better as the season has been going on, right? His conference stats are better than his early season stats. And he is a freshman, right? So we can expect maybe not a leap to greatness, but an improvement. Of course, we thought the same thing of Emery this year, and that didn't happen. I think, but man, I'm looking at the depth. I'm looking at his question, Matt, and I'm worried about the depth for next year. Corey's right. I think Heis' expectations for next year are slipping away a little bit.
Depth will be the issue.
Depth will be, I don't know if it's the issue. Honestly, if If these guys could all play to a high level, you only need 7 or 8, right? You don't need 10. If you could get Hawes and Emery playing at Emery a little higher than he did last year, Hawes takes the leap, Bryant, Childs, Mika, and then just all you need are like 3 guys. And the crazy part about it is, you know who I want back? Freaking Skyler Halford, right? Like, we don't have a guy like that right now. Somebody instant offense, like, nobody is providing that off the bench or at the end of the starting lineup. And it's really frustrating, right? Really frustrating.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to football for the last few minutes. Matt, last week we predicted the season, okay? The problem with us predicting the season is that I'm an idiot. All right?
Well, no, listen, we predicted all the games. You're just bad at math.
My spreadsheet did not include all of the games. We predicted every game, okay? So we know that there are 13 regular season games next year. But my spreadsheet did not count 13 games. It just counted the 12. So we said you were doing 8-4 or 8-3, and I was doing 9-2. It's actually you were doing 9-4, and I was doing 10-3. Okay, so that was our predictions. Anything you want to change about what you said? You had losses against Louisiana State, Wisconsin, Boise, and Mississippi State. I had losses against LSU, Wisconsin, and Mississippi State, but a victory against Boise. We both had them winning their last 6 games against what looks like, at least on paper so far, pretty bad competition in those last 6 games. Would you change anything?
I have nothing to change.
Yeah, me either. I'm sticking with what we said last year. Matt, a little bit of news. Athlon Sports has ranked the BYU-Wisconsin game the number 5 game for Big Ten out of conference. Kind of an interesting list when you look at it. Obviously, the Big Ten had luster, and we were pumping them all year last year, and then they kind of petered out there towards the end of the year. Now, keep in mind that number seven on this list is Wyoming at Iowa. So I'm not sure their out-of-conference schedule is that big. But look at the ones above BYU and Wisconsin. Nebraska at Oregon. Oregon's may not be any good. Right?
Yep.
Notre Dame at Michigan State. Michigan State might not be any good. But
Notre Dame might not be any good.
Neither of those teams might. It's a name game. The last two, though, indisputably, Florida versus Michigan to start the season is a big game for both programs. That, to me, is a massive out-of-conference game for both teams. Because if Florida wins against Michigan, you might say, oh, they kind of looked frisky at the end of last year. Maybe they're a college football playoff contender. What do you think? Is that a big game? Yeah, I said frisky.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge game.
That's a huge game. And then the following week, Matt, Oklahoma at Ohio State. I think that's a much bigger game for Oklahoma than it is for Ohio State. If Oklahoma wins that, they are in the driver's seat for a college football playoff spot.
The only thing different I would say to you is this. It's a huge game for Ohio State. They have everything to lose.
I think they could still make the college football playoff and lose that game. I don't think Oklahoma can. I agree with you. It's a huge game. Ohio State, it's a huge statement, especially after the, not making the college football playoff last year. But I don't know if Oklahoma can make it if they lose that game.
No, they can't. They belong to the Big 12.
Yeah,
exactly. Does the Big 12 even get invited to the playoff?
I don't think so.
I think if you check the bylaws, I don't know that they're in there.
They get in. All I'm saying is I think the Wisconsin-BYU game is actually a better game, potentially, than Notre Dame-Michigan and Nebraska-Oregon. I'm just saying.
I'll enjoy it more. I'm certainly going to enjoy it more than Wyoming at Iowa.
Wyoming at Iowa. Good gravy.
They got desperate late in this list.
Well, it just shows that, quite frankly, the Big Ten's out-of-conference schedule is not impressive. I mean, number 6 on this list, right behind us, is Western Michigan at Michigan State. I'm not sure Michigan State's any good again.
The directional Michigan schools all just kind of blend together for me right now.
Right. and Maryland at Texas? Like,
oh my
who
gosh.
Cares in either conference? Like, that game's relevant. I don't know that game's relevant. So, Matt, we're going to do a little similar to what we just did with the basketball team. Give me two things that for BYU to have a special season next year, the football team, what are two things that have to be there?
For the season to be special?
To be special, 10 wins or higher.
Well, that was going to be my first one. You want this season to be special? So, you got to win 10 wins.
Okay, fine. On the field, dude. Not like about the team. Not that they got to win 10 games. That's what special is. So how do they get there? Give me two things that have to happen.
Well, let me just sit here and think about my math for just a second, right? So they've got to win at least one game that's a game that they could lose. Does that make sense? I'm not worried about them winning the games that they should win, because the difference in competition here and they don't have to worry about UNLV or UMass, right? But one of these games that they probably should lose, they've got to win it.
They got to win at least one of those. Yes,
that's right.
LSU, Wisconsin, Boise, and Mississippi State. I think are those games, right?
And I'll tell you, really,
Utah. Maybe.
I think it's got to be LSU or Wisconsin.
To be a really special season, if they can beat LSU to start, the hype around this team would be off the. I mean, BYU fans will be absolutely the blue goggles will be so deep. Everyone will be talking national championship.
Think about it. If in September they beat LSU or Wisconsin, okay,
yes,
and you get to the end of the month, you beat Utah State. And then maybe you beat Boise, but you lose to Mississippi State. At that point, you're in the middle of October. You have, two losses?
You're going
to
go 11-2.
Yeah. Think about the feeling that would be around that season if you get into the East Carolina game and you beat LSU or Wisconsin and then lost either the Boise State or the Mississippi State game.
Right.
Right. So I think there's two tiers right there, right? So they've got to beat somebody in that top tier, LSU or Wisconsin, and somebody in that second level, which I kind of see as the Boise State, Mississippi State.
Yeah, yeah, okay. But what do they have to do to win some of those games? Like, what has to happen with this team? Like, give me one thing that the team would have to do besides winning a big game.
I'm not sure I understand.
I'll give you mine.
Yeah, give me an example.
I'll give you mine. I think this team, over the course of the year, has to be a top 40 defensive team. And that's a tall order because we lost two fantastic players in Longy and Nacua, right, as well as some others. Okay? I think if they can be a top 40 defensive team, that gives them the chance to do exactly what you just said, which is pick off one or two of those games that they have no business winning. And I think the three games really they have no business winning is LSU, Wisconsin, and at Mississippi State. Boise isn't that great, and it's in Provo. And Utah may not be that great, and it's in Provo, right? But those three games, those are the ones that they shouldn't win, right? And I agree with you. If they win even one of those games, especially LSU and Wisconsin, it becomes a special season. What's one thing you think they have to do on the field to make that a possibility?
I think the pass catchers have to be better than advertised. I think you have to have a receiving core that's going to create opportunity for Tanner. And I think you have to have a real tight end.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was my other one. We're on the exact same wavelength. I believe Tanner's going to be very good. I think the offensive line will be at least decent. And the running game will not be like it was last year, but I feel that they'll be okay. That question mark on the pass catchers is huge. And going up against good defenses, if they can't get off the line of scrimmage and get open, I mean, the offensive line can only do so much when you're playing a team like LSU or the defensive front of Mississippi State.
And when I look at the wide receiver group specifically, and think about what you just said, right? Ability to get off the ball and these other things, it makes me nervous.
Which is why
I'm saying you've got to have a viable tight end or two, and you've got to be able to get the ball to running backs out of, you know, you've got to be able to throw it to somebody coming out of the backfield. There's got to be reliable check down options, because as you do that, you're gonna create some space for your receivers. But if those options don't exist for you, it's not going to be very difficult for defenses to figure you out. The rushing game will be serviceable, but it's not going to carry the day.
Let me throw out a theory, Matt. You ready for a little theory?
Oh, here we go. See what do you got?
So Mangum is going to be the quarterback from the get-go, right? He's going to get all the meaningful reps in spring and fall practice, okay? He is going to have all of the opportunity to figure out who are the wide receivers that he can trust, right? And maybe it's Moroni Tutupau coming out as a tight end, right? Because that's what folks are saying. He's going to make that transition. Maybe it's one of these other wide receivers. Maybe it's even somebody that we're not even thinking or talking about that he just clicks with, right? And he finds his Ben Cahoon or his Mark Kozlowski or his, you know, pick good possession wide receiver. I don't know that we have a, I don't think we have one of those really, really top wide receivers that we've ever had, right? I don't think any of those types are on the roster. I'd love to be proved wrong. But here's my theory. He is a timing guy, a timing passer, West Coast passer. He fits, in theory, perfectly to a tight end offense. If he can just find one or two guys that he clicks with, I think that'll be enough. I don't know if they have to get, quote-unquote, better, right? If he can just find somebody they can trust to be in the right place when he has to unload, get rid of the ball quick because, you know, there's a blitz or one of these, you know, future NFL first-round draft picks blows by one of our offensive linemen. So I feel a lot better with Mangum getting all of this practice time that we will see a crispness to the offense that we did not see after he came in, after Taysom got hurt. What do you think?
I think there's reason to believe that we could see that crispness, because he is going to get all those reps, and there's no more questions around who's going to be the quarterback, right?
Yes.
So, yes. But if he can develop a relationship and that trust with a couple of those receivers, maybe you're onto something. But
we'll see. I mean, and quite frankly, we won't really know until actual football games in the fall. Right, there'll be stories that come out of spring camp and fall camp about how he's really clicking with so and so and whatever else.
And none of that matters.
Reporters don't see enough practice to honestly know. They're just reporting what people are saying, which is fine. That's their job. But we won't really know until that all goes down in between the white lines.
Oh, on Saturday
and sometimes Thursday and Friday
when we light it up against Portland State.
Now, I was looking at our schedule next year, Matt. How many games are not on a Saturday?
I'm seeing, hold on, maybe I got to scroll down. I just see the one.
Just one, dude. Only, you know, last year there were the Thursday games and stuff. There's one Friday night game against Utah State and Logan. And everything else is on a Saturday, as it should be.
Now, yeah, some of but these don't they still have an opportunity to move these?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And there's a very good chance that one or two of them might move, right? Like, yes. If there's an opportunity and ESPN says, hey, we'll televise that San Jose State game if you'll do it on Thursday.
Thursday night it is.
Thursday it is. All right, let's do it on October 26th. You know, but we'll see. We'll see for sure. All right, Matt. Well, this has been a podcast for sure.
We podcasted it.
Next week, Matt, we will be back to talk about the Gonzaga game and to preview the West Coast Conference tournament, as we do every year.
Yeah.
We will predict every game, make bold and outlandish predictions.
Ridiculous predictions.
And, Matt, it's going to be time to start revving up our BYU analysis. We touched on a little bit of the NFL draft. I don't know if we'll get into that next week or if that'll be a couple of weeks. But we will definitely be back next week to preview the WCC. I think we're going to record on Monday night. It might be Tuesday night, folks. So stay tuned to your Twitter and Facebook feeds to find out when you could submit your tweet bag questions. Matt, for first-time listeners, if you're on there and you want to connect with the podcast, we are on all of, well, that's not true. We're just on two of them. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. You can find us on Twitter at BYU_riseshout. And if you like the old email, you can do that too, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. That's one word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, any...
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not available on MySpace or Google+. Sorry.
Neither of those. Actually, we are on Google+. I just never look at it. So you can probably find us there.
You can if you really want to, I guess.
We're not on Snapchat. We're not on the Instagram, because you don't want pictures of our ugly mugs in your Instagram feed.
Snapchat going. What would we even put on Snapchat?
I don't know what we'd put on Snapchat. Snapchat to me, and I know I sound like an old fogey, I just like, yep. I've tried it, and I just sit there and go, so why wouldn't I just do this on Instagram? You know, like, oh, it goes away. Okay.
Newsflash, folks. It doesn't.
No.
Doesn't go away. No. It just becomes inaccessible to you.
Yes. I'm sure they're just deleting it, Matt. I'm sure they care about your privacy.
No, I think we'd have it confirmed that they don't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't. Well, anyway, thank you guys for downloading and listening. As always, check out CougarFan.com to get all of your BYU sports news. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!